Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper, coming to you from Washington, D.C., right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Folks, we had a very interesting show last night. There were some fireworks on the show, and I like that because it does make the show interesting. We had a caller who called in and stated some historical facts about, let's be upfront about it. Some facts that some people don't like to be known. Facts that upset some people because it's the truth. And, you know, sometimes, as they say, the truth does hurt. Well, we had a caller named Jeff from Massachusetts who called in, and I gave him quite a bit of time, folks, because he said he was a supporter of Israel, and he feels that, I guess, Israel is very important to America, and that it's I gather from what he's saying that he believes that American patriots should be friendly to Israel, so to speak. And he's very specifically in referring to some of the comments made by our other caller. He said anti-Semitism, he said, has no place in the patriot movement. There's no room for anti-Semitism in the patriot movement. I'm paraphrasing him, but, you know, I'll tell you what, it got me thinking, folks. I wonder about that. I mean, I was very, very free with giving Jeff a great deal of time, and in fact, one of our other callers, Ron from Oklahoma, who's one of our very articulate callers, Ron called in, and, you know, he came in right after Jeff, I believe, and he said something very interesting. He said, Michael, he says, I don't know why you waste all your valuable time here on the radio giving Jeff all of that time to speak when, in fact, as he pointed out, the Zionist lobby controls the American media in this country. The mass media in this country is totally dominated by supporters of Zionism, and the pro-Israel position is constantly being heard day in, day out, and in the pages of the major publications. And, you know, Ron was absolutely right about that. But, you know, I pointed out to Ron that, you know, maybe the best thing we can do, you know, and, I mean, we're all in favor of freedom of speech, of course, but maybe the best thing is to let our fellow patriots hear what the other side has to say. Now, Jeff from Massachusetts, I gather, considers himself a patriot, but he says that there's no room for anti-Semitism in the patriot movement. Well, I'm wondering if there's room for Semitism in the patriot movement, ladies and gentlemen. And even that term, Semitism and anti-Semitism, is a wholly abused term, because I'm here to tell you, Arabs are Semites too, and they are some of the biggest victims of anti-Semitism that there are in the world today. And frankly, you know, Jeff, the caller, was very freely bashing the Islamic faith, bashing Islam and saying what a terrible religion it is, and that's certainly bigotry. So I gather what Jeff was saying was it's perfectly okay to bash Arabs and Muslims, and of course, folks, remember, all Arabs are not Muslims. There are many Christian Arabs. It's perfectly okay, but it's not okay to criticize the political actions of the Jewish people. And there's no question about it that the American political system is very heavily dominated by Jewish influence and Jewish money. In fact, this last night I mentioned to you a very important report that's been put out by a gentleman from Harvard University entitled The Israel Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy. He points out the massive financial resources given by pro-Israel supporters, who are, in fact, mostly Jewish, to politicians in America. I mean, we're talking massive numbers, massive figures, folks. Let's talk about Semitism and anti-Semitism. That's what we're going to do tonight. We have a guest, so stay tuned. This is Michael Collins Piper here with you on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line-out and external line-in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio. You get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I hope you listened very carefully to that commercial for American Free Press. That's the newspaper that I write for on a weekly basis. You know, American Free Press is a good newspaper, folks. But you know what? American Free Press has been called anti-Semitic. That's the term we're talking about here tonight on the show, anti-Semitism and Semitism. What is it, you know, what's it all about, and does it have a place in the Patriot movement, or just what's it all about, folks, you know? And American Free Press has been called anti-Semitic. Now, the old definition of anti-Semitism was to be against Jewish people, although, of course, Arabs are Semites, too, but evidently the Jewish people want the dibs on the term Semitism, so it's become, anti-Semitism has become synonymous with anti-Judaism or anti-Jewish sentiments, and yet American Free Press has never criticized Jewish people because they were Jews. American Free Press has never criticized even the Jewish religion, aspects of the Jewish religion, which I personally find very offensive, things that preach hatred toward non-Jews, preach the inferiority of non-Jews. American Free Press has never written anything of that sort, and yet it's called anti-Semitic. And you know what? Some of the greatest people in history have been called anti-Semitic. In my book, The New Jerusalem, which is about Zionist power in America, I have a whole chapter listing very famous people from all walks of life, all races and creeds, who have been called anti-Semitic. So, you know, it's a term that's thrown around pretty freely. And guess what? You know, folks, a couple years ago, Webster's Dictionary decided to revise the definition of anti-Semitism. And now anti-Semitism includes anyone who is critical of Israel or anyone who is sympathetic to the enemies, real and perceived, of Israel. So, folks, if that's what the definition of anti-Semitism is, I want to tell you then that a vast majority of the people of the world are anti-Semitic. If the dictionary definition is correct, it is a fact that most of the people of the world are critical of Israel and sympathetic towards the Palestinian people. Now, that may not be commonly held in feeling here in the United States, but why is that? Because of the corrupt, controlled major media in this country, which is owned or otherwise controlled at the highest levels, all of the major newspapers, all of the major magazines, all of the major networks are controlled or otherwise owned by supporters of Israel, most of whom happen to be Jewish, but they are hardline Zionists, and they control the media in this country, and they use that to impact the American mind. So, yes, Semitism and anti-Semitism is a big issue in America, and as our caller who upset our caller, Jeff, pointed out, Jewish power played a direct role in getting the United States involved in both World War I and World War II. We are now involved in a war in Iraq that is a direct result of the consequence of Jewish political power. We're not saying that every Jewish person in the United States played a role in this, but we are saying, very forthrightly, that it is precisely because of excessive Jewish insistence upon dictating U.S. foreign policy to the benefit of the nation called Israel and in favor of a long-standing Zionist dream of a new world order, that's why we're in Iraq today, and that's why we may end up going to war against Iran. Now, we have somebody on the phone here tonight who I asked him to call in to discuss something specific. He and I had a very interesting private phone conversation, but he's familiar to many of the guests. It's Mark Glenn. Mark, come on up.
Brother Michael.
Mark, how you doing tonight?
The godfather of truth. What's it feel like to be king of the world?
Well, I'll tell you what, Edgar Bronfman considers himself king of the world, but we'll let him relish his temporary power, because there are higher powers that will eventually deal with him.
Well, now, if it ever comes to a vote, you can count me in.
Okay. Well, Mark, as many of our guests know, they know you as the author of the book No Beauty in the Beast, and it's a very eloquent book, as I said, that tackles this problem of Israel. But The very specific reason I wanted to ask you on tonight, we talked about that book and many, many other things. I want you to give out your website and everything then, Mark, too. But one of our callers last night, in response to Jeff from Massachusetts, who's kind of the featured player here, one of our callers pointed out that there was an Israeli spy group that was very active in this country, and that there were hundreds of them. They were picked up and eventually deported from the United States. They were known to be going to U.S. installations, federal facilities, pretending to be selling art or otherwise pretending to be art students. And, in fact, they were Israeli spies. They were working apparently for some faction mm-hmm. of the Israeli military. Now, this story received some mentioned in the mass media. It actually was reported at one point by Fox News. It had been leaked from an official in the Drug Enforcement Administration. A DEA official was aware of these Israeli operations. Mm-hmm. Now, it also turned out that in the course of these Israeli operations, some of these Israeli spies were actually living across the street in several instances from some of the Arabs who are alleged to be the 911 hijackers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the average common sense person who is not bound up in trying to make excuses for Israel and trying to deny that the Israelis had any foreknowledge of 911 would have to say that it was a an extraordinary coincidence, Mark, that these Israeli spies just happened to be obviously tailing the 911 hijackers. So basically, these guys, they were eventually deported from the United States. To the best of anyone's knowledge, they were never implicated, or even there were never even any suggestions made by the U.S. federal authorities that these Israeli folks were doing anything wrong. But Mark Glenn, our guest here tonight, had a very interesting experience of his own with these Israelis. Now, not only, and I'm going to let Mark tell the whole story himself, but I want to preface it by saying that these Israeli students slash spies slash troublemakers were also setting up little kiosks in department store or in shopping malls around the country and selling little novelty items. Now, you know, the average person says, what? These are spies? Well, yes. Foreign spies do unusual things. They don't wear flags. They don't wear hats that say, I'm a spy. Or they don't put placards around their neck saying, I'm a spy. They provide what's called cover. And one of the things they were doing, they were selling little toys at kiosks in department stores. Now, Mark, I want you to just go ahead and tell me your experience with these Israelis in your neck of the woods. This is a very interesting story, folks. Stay tuned. Listen to this carefully.
First of all, my neck of the woods is sleepy little North Idaho, okay? I mean, you really can't get a place that's less inhabited, less populated, really, than up here. So, you know, that's an important thing to remember. This is not a booming metropolis or anything like this. But up here in sleepy little North Idaho, about 4 months, I'd say, before the invasion of Iraq. And by the way, I had not read any of these news stories concerning the Israeli spy scandal or any of this. I had no knowledge of this at all.
In fact, it didn't actually come out until well after the...
Exactly. So one day, it was Christmas season. I was with my son, and I had taken him down to town to this little mall. And... while we were there, I noticed that there was a kiosk, you know, one of these little places in the center of the mall where they sell trinkets, things like this. And in this particular kiosk, they were selling what appeared to be these scented pillows, okay? And I noticed, you know, as I got close to it, I could see that there was this young woman, I would say in between, you know, 19, 22 years, something like that, a very ethnic-looking woman. And I assumed that she was either an Arab or somebody who is Spanish, or somebody, you know, somebody very dark and Mediterranean-looking. So, you know, I just have this proclivity, whenever I see somebody like that, that I like to strike up a conversation because I'm very interested in other cultures, other people, and especially if they happen to speak, you know, one of the languages that I have studied. So I got closer to the kiosk, and I could hear that she spoke with an accent. I said, oh, well, she probably is either an Arab or an Italian or something like that. This should be interesting, because there really are no foreigners up here in North Idaho, okay? The closest thing that you're going to get to a foreigner is somebody east of the Mississippi coming out here to visit. So as I got closer, I could hear this accent, but I could not pick it out. It was not Italian. It was not Spanish. It was not Arabic. I thought it sounded somewhat Russian, and so I went over to one of her coworkers who also spoke with an accent similar to hers, and I said, excuse me, I said, but where is she from? And he got very nervous and looked at me, and he looked over and he said, well, I don't know. And I said, you don't know where your coworker is from? And he said, no, I don't. Excuse me for a moment, and he walked off. Now, one of the things that I noticed that this group, and there were about four or five of them, they were all young, physically fit, military age people. One of the things that they were doing in selling these scented pillows.
And when you say scented pillows, you mean these are like little. Well, stay tuned, folks. This is a very interesting story. It gets better. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper coming to you on the Republic Broadcasting Network. This story Mark Glenn's telling us is a very scary story, folks. Watch out for America.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of Choice Garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're getting a real live dose of real live spy stories here on the Republic Broadcasting Network tonight. I have a special guest, Mark Glenn. He's the author of the book, No Beauty and the Beast. And he's telling us about his experience at a rural, in a relatively rural location in northern Idaho where he lives, where he's going to tell you the rest of the story, but folks, remember, this isn't a conspiracy theory, this is a fact. So Mark, continue. You were in the mall, there were people who we now know to be Israelis who were working at a kiosk, and,
I did not know they were Israelis yet.
Right, exactly, but we now know, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do now. So anyway, the fellow that I asked, I said, you know, where is she from? And he said, I don't know. And got very nervous, and he said, excuse me, and went back to what he was doing. So I was watching as these individuals were very aggressive in their selling. What they would do is walk up to people in the mall as they were walking by, and they would take these pillows, scented pillows, and they would shove them right into the faces of these people and say, smell this.
These are like little pillows that would fit in your hand, little scented.
Exactly.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so I finally waited for my turn to where she came around and shoved this pillow in my face, and before she got the chance to do it, I greeted her in Arabic, you know, what I could remember from my grandfather, and I spoke to her, just greeted her in Arabic, and she froze and just stared at me. And so I thought, well, maybe I didn't say it right, I'll say it again, and I greeted her again in Arabic, and then she started looking sideways towards her coworkers. And didn't say anything and just stared at me. And I said, where are you from? She said, I'm from Israel. And I said, oh. And then she proceeded to take this thing and to shove it into my face and said, smell this. Now, that was the end of it, because she immediately broke off having any contact with me and went back to this, her duties of trying to sell these things. But within, I'd say, 45 minutes of this encounter, both my son and I became violently ill. And by violently, I mean throwing up every 15 minutes, something like that. Headed home, and within an hour of us being home, still throwing up, the entire family was sick and throwing up as well.
And how many children do you have here?
We had, at this time, 6 children.
Okay, so you and your wife and all your children violently ill within just...
Within an hour of me getting home, yes. Within an hour of me getting home, the remaining 5 were sick as well, because I only had my son with me when we were at the mall. So within an hour of us getting home, they were all sick. So sick, 3 or 4 hours later, that I was convinced that we were going to be taking some of them to the emergency room, and I'm not a big fan of doctors. But a couple of the younger kids were throwing up so much, you know, every 10 minutes they were throwing up for literally hours on end, that I thought, we're going to have to take them to the emergency room. I had never seen anything like this. So I didn't think anything of it. A couple of days later, you know, my wife and I were talking about it. Luckily, thank God, we did not have to go to the hospital. But a few days later, we were talking about it, and I said, maybe I'm just being paranoid here, but I said, we have never been that sick. And is it just coincidental that these Israelis are shoving these pillows in our faces, and then, you know, within half an hour, 45 minutes after that, you know, we're violently ill? And didn't think much of it until a few months later, and I was at the library getting some news off the Internet, and there it was, the spy story involving these Israelis at the kiosks and things like that where they were selling trinkets. And I did a search to see some of the cities where these people had been located. And sure enough, some of them had been located right up here where we were. And went home. I printed out the story, went home, showed my wife. And at that point, there was no doubt in my mind that what had taken place that day with respect to us getting sick like that was linked to that. Now, do I know what was going on? I don't know. I don't know. But I don't consider it. It's too big of a coincidence to be a coincidence.
Well, you know, Mark, after you told me this story in a private conversation, you know, my immediate reaction to that was, you know, okay, first of all, we know that these people were operatives of the Israelis.
Mm-hmm.
We know that they were asked to leave this country.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that this strange thing happened to you, wherein you and your entire family got sick. Now, you know, people would say, well, how could they have poisoned the entire family? Well, folks, there are men in the U.S. military coming back to the United States who've been exposed to depleted uranium, and not only are they suffering symptoms, but members of their family are suffering symptoms. So I would contend, this is obviously my opinion here, but needless to say, I think everyone here has to agree that that's a very interesting story you told. Well, my conclusion, my opinion is that these people were carrying out, on behalf of Israeli intelligence, experiments with weapons of mass destruction, biological weapons, chemical weapons, who knows. Where do they carry it out? In the rural fields of Idaho, folks. You know, Idaho has this reputation, you know, of being a hotbed of anti-Semitism and, you know, and extreme patriotism. And if they're going to carry out an experiment, where are they going to carry it out, the Israelis? Are they going to carry out such an experiment in a shopping mall in New York State? Folks, this is a scary story. Stay tuned. This is Michael Collins Piper on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right. Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today, because you can handle the truth.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You know, it occurs to me, you know, we just heard a very chilling story from Mark Glenn, who's a special guest up here with us tonight, and it occurs to me that he could have never told this story on ABC or CBS or NBC or on Larry King. They would have yanked him off the air, but he's not being yanked off the Republic Broadcasting Network, folks. That's why we need the Republic Broadcasting Network. Well, Mark, before the music interrupted us for these necessaries, that is, the commercial breaks, I was about to make the comment that it appears to me, and I have no doubt about it in my own mind, that what happened to you and your family, you were victims of a covert experiment being carried out on American soil by Israeli operatives in the field of weapons of mass destruction, whether chemical weapons, whether biological weapons, I don't know, but I have no doubt in my mind that that's exactly what happened to you. And Mark, when we spoke off the air before, you told me that you did some checking and you found out that there were in fact many, many people in the area who had suffered similar symptoms. Is that not correct?
Yeah, there was a story that had run on the local news up here that had talked about, you know, an unusually high number of flu cases, what they would consider to be like a 24-hour thing, but that, you know, that the hospitals were running into problems in meeting the demand and taking care of these people. So, I did not note it at the time, other than the fact then to remark to myself that it must have been what we had. Okay, and also too, I want to add one thing. You know, a lot of people in our business, meaning, you know, who follow up on all of this stuff. You know, I run into a lot of people who are sure that the FBI are following them or that their phones are being tapped or whatever. You know, this is, unfortunately, this comes with the territory of what we do. But at the time that this happened, okay, I was a nobody. I hadn't written anything in my life. I mean, I had political convictions, but for the most part, I kept them to myself or shared them with a few people in my environment.
And let me interrupt, Mark, because I think the point you're making, and it's a point I want to emphasize, if it's not the point you're making, and that is the fact that we're not saying that you were deliberately targeted because they knew who you were.
Exactly.
They were doing this to lots of people in your area, and you just happened to come up to them,
mm-hmm.
and you happened to have maybe some insights, you know, from your own political knowledge, but that wasn't what was in operation there. What was happening was they were carrying out some sort of experiment, and you just happened to walk into it.
That's exactly right.
So, you know, folks, I mean, if this is our great ally, Israel, if this is the kind of dirty work they're carrying out on American soil, I'm here to tell you then that I am very, if anti-Semitism is being anti-Israel and being critical of Israel, then I am anti-Semitic then, folks. I am anti-Semitic because I don't think the Israelis should be allowed to come on American soil and pull off this kind of dirty work. In fact, I think we ought to take our troops out of Iraq and send them into Jerusalem and liberate the Arab Christians and the Arab Muslims in that holy city.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is what we need to do, folks.
I'd like to add something too, Michael, if I could. You know, I'm not using this as a forum to promote my own writing, but recently, you know, I sent out my latest piece, which is called "You Might Be an Anti-Semite If." Okay?
Yes, exactly, and it's so profound and so appropriate for this discussion.
Well, my
tell people where they can read that, Mark.
You can go to my website at crescentandcross.com, and you'll see it right there under the author's page. Just click on my name, and you'll see it. I think it's number 2 or 3 in the lineup.
And,
like
you know,
that.
A lot of our people, you know, I'm sorry to say, a lot of people can't spell. The smartest people in the world can't spell, so spell Crescent.
Okay. Crescent is C-R-E-S-C-E-N-T.
Okay.
CrescentandCross.com. One more.
Well, I'm here to tell you, I thought the word Crescent was spelled C-R-E-S-C-A-N-T, so I just proved my point. It's C-R-E-S-C-E-N-T. Crescent.
Don't feel bad.
English
is one of those languages. But anyway, the reason that I had written this piece is because, you know, we have been rendered powerless. We have got these shackles. You know, we're like in Gulliver's Travels, you know, where he, during the night while he is sleeping, he is being tied down by the Lilliputians with all these millions of little silken threads. And one of the things that is tying us down from being able to just defend ourselves as a nation is this fear of being tarred with this misnomer known as anti-Semitism, okay? Nobody even bothers to deconstruct the fact that as a word, it's meaningless. It means nothing. If it means anything, then it refers to the fact that we are over there butchering these Arabs on the behalf of a non-Semitic entity, meaning Israel.
That's okay. Right. And that's another point, too. You know, we could go on and on here, but, you know, there are very real historical questions as to whether the Jews are even Semites at all. That's another question for another hour, many, many other hours.
One of the points that I was trying to make in this is that, you know, people are so afraid. If you ask the average person and you say to the person, are you anti-Semitic? And they would say, oh, absolutely not, you know. In the same way that if you were to ask somebody during the Stalinist era of the Soviet Union, are you anti-Stalin? They would say, oh, absolutely not. And my point is, and when I was making this article, is that you probably fit more into the anti-Semitic category than you realize, because it's a very easy trap in which to put your foot, you know. And so I list all of these things today that if you embrace just one of these things, you probably fall within the parameters of being called anti-Semitic. It's a very easy thing to do, and deliberately so. Our enemy meaning those working for this thing known as the Jewish supremacist agenda, they have set the trap on this thing to be a very sensitive thing. It's very easy to step into that snare. And so we have to begin this process of deconstructing what it means to be anti-Semitic.
Well, you know, Mark, you know, I, for myself, I mean, I do business with Jewish people on a regular basis, very fine people. I have friends who are Jewish. They know exactly what my positions are as far as Israel is concerned. A Jewish friend of mine was standing here in my library with me a couple weeks ago, and I pointed to this rack of volumes, and I said to him, I said, all these books are about the crimes that your people have committed over the centuries. And, you know, he kind of chuckled, but, you know, he knew I was right. Now, speaking of Semites, I'm pleased to say we have a real Semite who has joined us on the line. It's Dr. Hesham Talawi, who has Current Issues TV. Dr. Talawi, come on up.
Thank you for having Mark on the show, Michael.
But Dr. Talawi, you have become a very important voice here in America through your Current Issues television, and it's on the Internet. I want you to give out that address right now and give it out again.
Yeah, just don't say I'm becoming very important because they will take me off the air. You know who I'm talking about here.
We hope that won't happen.
the website is www.currentissues.tv. Currentissues.tv. It's a weekly program, 2 hours on Thursday nights from 9 to 11 p.m. Central Time.
Okay.
I've been listening to what you and Mark have been talking about, and as a matter of fact, when you say Semitic, it refers to a group of languages. It's not really a race. There's no such a thing as a race. Arabs and Jews and other people are considered Semitic people only because they speak a Semitic language.
Interesting. Okay.
So when you say anti-Semitic, you are being anti-language, and which is an oxymoron thing to do, because it's just like you saying you're anti-English, as in the language, or anti-Spanish.
Okay, well, you know, I'll tell you what, you know, I was aware of that point, but you know, I had thoroughly forgotten it. So you've enlightened me certainly, and I know you've enlightened a lot of people with just that point right there.
Now, having said that, unfortunately, the term anti-Semitic, it's becoming a very well-known term, as every time you speak of anything that has to do with Israel, as a matter of fact, it used to be when you speak about Jews and Jewish people, which there's a lot of good Jewish people out there who are anti-Israel and anti-Zionism, but of course their voices are not being heard. But the term came to be any time you speak anything negative about Israel, then you are an anti-Semitic. They throw this charge at you, and this charge has destroyed a lot of people and a lot of good prominent people. One of them that I can think of is Paul Findlay.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of other people just for questioning the power that not, I don't want to, I hate to use the term Jewish, even though a lot of people like to, I don't like to generalize, there is, it just happens to be that these people who are after this power grab are, they happen to be Jews. I had Paul Craig Roberts, a great man, on the show who used to be Assistant Secretary of the Treasury last week, and he made a statement that really shocked me, that most of the people on top in the Bush administration are mainly of the Jewish faith, which that in its own, it does not really mean anything to a lot of people, and people don't want to hear it. But when they know that these people were put in there for a reason, and that reason is only to further the interest of Israel in the world, then it becomes our business, and it becomes, when it hits home, then we don't care who's on top. The American people need to know about it. So if they were Jews, if they were Muslims, if they were Catholics, it just happens to be the bunch on the top, 90% of them, or probably more, are either Jews or what's called neocons now. That's just a new term for basically Zionist entity who are controlling the government. People hear us, you see, whenever we talk about this, Michael, people say, oh, you're anti-Semitic. Right away, they don't want to hear it from you. They don't want to hear anything about it. But a couple of days ago, a few days ago, two professors, I don't know if you all discussed this one, with the AIPAC deal where they had a report on what AIPAC is doing.
Yes, yes.
The
exactly.
American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. And the power that this particular lobby group has, and they did not really come up with any new thing. This stuff, you have been talking about it, I have been talking about it, Mark has been talking about it, a lot of people have been talking about this for the last 3 years, that this war in Iraq, it's for Israel. And these two professors, and I'm really surprised and I question why would the media kind of give them, attention when a lot of people have been saying the same thing and no one was listening to them. Steve Snigosky was, this is probably his theory, and amongst other people, not just Steve, but Steve was one of the advocates for this from the beginning. And now we see that the Kennedy Business School of Business and Harvard coming out with this particular report, and it proves beyond any doubt that we are in Iraq for Israel. And this is what the American people need to understand. Forget about being anti-Semitic or not. We have over 2,000 people dead. That's the official number. But, of course, you know, the real number is a lot more than that. We killed about 250,000 Iraqis. We destroyed the country. And I'm sure now we are trying to figure out a way out, regardless of how bad the Iraqis will be after we leave. We don't really care because we have accomplished the objective of the war, and the objective of the war is to destroy Iraq and split it into three different weak states so it will be easy for Israel to control that part of the world. So we lose $300 billion, and he just asked for more, and just basically to go and please Israel because we are driven. Michael, the way I look at it, I'm a Palestinian origin. Palestine is occupied by Israel militarily. And the United States is occupied by Israel politically.
That's correct.
Exactly what's happening here.
You've summarized it all so well. I couldn't add anything to that. You know, and you know, I do want to make a point though. Something occurred to me. You know, here we're talking about the numbers of Jewish people in positions of influence directing U.S. foreign policy for a very specific agenda, which happens to be the Zionist agenda. But, you know, it's interesting. Back a couple months ago, the Washington Post, after the most recent Supreme Court appointment, the Washington Post had a headline story on one of the inner pages saying that there were serious concerns among many people about the fact that the majority of the members happened to be Roman Catholics. Now, I cannot imagine under any circumstances where the Washington Post would ever publish a story saying that there were many concerns among many people about the fact that Zionist Jews are predominant in policy-making positions in the foreign policy realm of the Bush administration. You see, this is the kind of double standard that we're dealing with, Dr. Tlaoui and Mark. You know, this is that's why your show, Current Issues, is so important. That's why Mark's website, crescentandcross.com, and the Republic Broadcasting Network and American Free Press and all these independent voices that are standing up and speaking out. And it's not a pleasant thing because we are called anti-Semites. We are attacked. And, you know, it's as I see it, more and more people are joining our ranks. That's the good news. The bad news is that more and more Americans, I think, are going to be dying in the Middle East precisely because of this Zionist occupation of the American political system.
I agree.
I guess we're singing to the choir here. Well, I'll tell you what, we do have some people who've been very patiently waiting on the phones, and I'd like to bring them up. We do have a caller, Jeff, but he's calling from Vermont. This is not Jeff from Massachusetts. This is Jeff from Vermont.
Yeah, this is Jeff from Vermont. How you guys doing?
How you doing tonight, Jeff?
Beautiful show. I guess my question was already answered, but I was going to say, what country had the most to gain from the 9/11 and the Iraq war? And And I pretty much answered my question there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just so obvious. I mean, it's so blatantly obvious, and for anyone to deny that Israel is a country that benefited it, such a person who would deny it is either a liar or a fool or both.
Yeah, I mean, that's my opinion the same. And yeah. I just want to just add, I read a lot of your stuff on the American Free Press, and I've listened to your show on RBN and everything, and I don't think you care what race, religion, or creed people are, but the truth is that the people in power, you know, are from a particular race, and they have the most influence in Washington or in any other place, and it wouldn't matter if the people are Catholic or, you know, Protestants or any other, but they are a particular race of people, and that should be the concern, and it's their agenda that they're trying to push, you know.
Well, I mean, point well taken, and you know, it's obvious. I mean, Donald Rumsfeld, to the best of my knowledge, is not Jewish, and yet he's carrying out the Jewish Zionist agenda.
Yes.
We have a break coming up here, and only 5 minutes left. Jeff, thanks for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper with Mark Glenn and Hashem Talawi right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're wrapping up another hour here, and I think it was a pretty good hour with two very special guests, two very articulate guests, Mark Glenn of CrescentandCross.com and Dr. Hashem Talawi of CurrentIssues.tv. Very interesting websites in both instances. So we have a couple more callers we want to try to squeeze in here. folks. So we got John from California. John, come on up.
Hi, Michael. Great show today.
All right, appreciate that.
I've got to apologize to you for harpooning you last week, according to John. But I'll move on here. That's another day. You know, this whole thing about anti-Semitic and this and that, and it's like the old Abbott and Costello, who's on first, you know? We're all word-controlled, you know?
Yeah, and I agree with that.
I don't know why we can't use the term Jew. Perhaps then we could drive out the Jews to be tagged as the, what do they call them, the self-hating Jews?
Well, you know, this is it. I mean, I know so many Jews who are critical of Israel who've been called anti-Semitic Jews and self-hating Jews and so forth. And, you know, it's all this use and abuse of the language, you know,
yes.
And it's used as an attempt like the caller the other night was, I think, trying to intimidate the other callers and perhaps even me by suggesting that, you know, saying anti-Semitism has no place in the patriot movement. Well, that sounds really lovely, but I mean, according to the official definition now, anti-Semitism is criticism of Israel. So basically what the caller was suggesting was that we can't criticize Israel because that's unpatriotic, and that's exactly the line that the Zionists are trying to pull over on us, that if you and they've actually written this. They say that if you're critical of Israel, that means you're critical of the United States.
Right.
So I don't go along with that, John.
Yeah, I agree. If you're pro-white, just not a racist, but you're tagged a racist. If you're an Arab, and you're tagged a terrorist now.
Yeah.
Potentially. So,
absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
John, listen, I appreciate your call. Let me try to squeeze in Bill from Wisconsin. Bill, come on up.
Yeah, good show, Michael.
This is my buddy Bill. How you doing tonight,
yeah,
Bill?
Good. It was 1 week ago, and all of your listeners should listen up here. Mike appeared on a local talk show here by way of telephone in central Wisconsin, and it was beamed throughout the area. So, you know, all of you have got these shows in your local vicinity. So just get on there, make your points, and as you make your points, you will gain credibility with the hosts of the show, and then from there you can get Mike and other speakers on there, and it won't be just, you know, the usual guys talking to each other. You will be able to reach a lot of new people and bring them aboard here and inform them as to what's going on. And Mike, I really appreciate your coming on that show and taking time that you could be doing other things and unselfishly doing that. That was a 90-minute show. So
yeah,
well,
Bill, I should tell the audience, you helped arrange that, Bill. You really set the whole thing up. And I'll just say that to the listeners out there, that if you have any local radio stations out there that you would like for me or Dr. Talawi or Mark Glenn to be on those programs, call them up and suggest our name.
Right.
Here we go. Dr. Talawi at currentissues.tv, Mark Glenn at crescentandcross.com. Thank you for being on the show tonight. We're going to have you back again.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks to the callers. Thanks to the listeners. Thanks to John Stattmiller and the folks at Republic Broadcasting Network for giving us this forum. Please support RBN and stay tuned because you got some more good programming coming up, folks. This is Michael Collins Piper.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
Which means...
They still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.